97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. Mark Cox here with you, along with Bo Matthews and Carl Middleman.
Hello.
Glad you're with us.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, love it.
Weekend.
It is.
Dr. Green this weekend?
No, boy, I wish.
He did that on Monday.
Dr. Green this past week. Didn't do well. That Bo, thanks for bringing that
up. Yeah, but it was a scramble, and they took your balls.
So I had a cut. Thanks for saying that.
You're
Carl.
Welcome.
I did have a couple of good putts. We ended up like 6 under, I think, for the tournament out at St. Albans to benefit the Gateway Warrior Foundation. Great organization, by the way. They raise money to provide service dogs for veterans.
Love that.
Who might suffer from PTSD or whatever. It costs, I was blown away by this, $40,000 to prepare one of these animals, feeding, training, selection, all that stuff to make sure they have the right animal. And it's not like one size fits all. They specifically train the dog for the individual who's receiving it. So what this organization does, they hold this huge golf tournament out there. We had 54 teams, I think, and people were just so generous. It was breathtaking to hear from these veterans. It was great.
Love that. Love organizations like that, or Paw Stoppers with the Kevlar vest for the canines. Good stuff. We got a big show. I did want to mention that because we are going to be talking fishing on the program. So the weird thing is the way I can fall asleep at night is I watch old TV. So my wife and I are on this rabbit hole of the show Family Affair. Do you remember that show Family Affair with Mr. French and Buffy?
Yes,
and
yes,
Jody?
You're kidding me.
We are.
And the doll.
And Mrs. Beasley, okay. Yes. So I go out on Wednesday to fish my pond. I have my fishing pole, and there's a reason I bring up Family Affair, but I go down there. I haven't fished my lake in 2 years. I just have been letting them grow and, you know, feed them and that kind of thing. Uh-huh. Bring my fishing pole. I'm thinking, you know what? It'd be nice to have a fish dinner out of my own pond tonight. Plus, is there fish in there that I might need in the future? We don't know. Log jams, all that stuff. So I go down there, have a great time. I don't catch a thing. I get a couple of nibbles. I'm good. I'm, you know, at least I know them. My water is clear as a bell, so I can see them. And so I wrap it up, and of course my wife, you know, made me soup or something. So I did have something to eat. So I go home. We get to settling down and watching Family Affair. The episode that we start is the episode where Uncle Beal brings Jody and Buffy and Sissy and Mr. French on a fishing trip. Only time that they've ever done, and we're like 2 seasons into this thing. I looked at my wife, I'm like, come on, what are the chances?
What are the odds?
Crazy, crazy. So anyway, we are going to be talking about fishing later on, plus getting in the outdoors. What?
And maybe Family Affairs. I mean, who knows? Who knows what we'll get into today?
It's just a nice escape from reality. That's all I got to say. You have a fish story you're also going to share on the program.
Yes, about a fail. I guess it would be a fail. Because
no, it's not a fail.
It started as a win.
It started
ended
as a
fail.
Win. It ended as a fail, and I'll share the details with you later. But all I can say is sometimes you have to watch what you're told in the heat of the moment when you're reeling in that big fish, because it cost me a lot of money. Let's put it that way.
Oh, my gosh.
Details to come.
Details
coming up. I can't wait to hear the story.
On this episode.
My goodness.
Yeah, don't take Mark's sage advice if you go abroad fishing.
So. Well,
or if you go fishing with abroad, take my advice. So.
Wow. This program has a lot of moving parts to it. And you ever get your kids and go out pumpkin picking or apple picking?
Sure.
Well,
sure.
There's a great farm that we are going to be talking to Phil LaCrone from Stuckmeyer's Farm next in just a moment, because he's got a big deal. And my wife goes to this farm, and this farm, I'm telling you, Mark, has grown so much over the years. They just keep adding on different things. We get our plants in the spring there and all that stuff, and they do vegetables and produce. So it's really cool. Anxious to see what they've got going on. But you mentioned a charity event you were at. I've got one Sunday at it's in Otto, Missouri, which is at 21 and M. And if you like Italian food, this is an all-you-can-eat Italian food event for Backstoppers. And matter of fact, they're using the entire parking lot with a giant tent, and they're going to have parking at like the German Cultural Society up the road. They're going to have shuttle buses to this thing. pasta, salad, pork loin. I mean, just we're gonna find out what's going on. As a matter of fact, I was at the restaurant last week, and here is the description of what's going on this weekend on Sunday with Backstoppers.
I am in Jeff County in Otto, Missouri. It's technically Imperial, but I'm at Trattoria Giuseppe's. If you love great Italian food, there is a celebration of 15 years of Trattoria Giuseppe, and it's also a benefit. What a classy way to do it. I want to introduce you to Giuseppe and Grace. Prezzavento.
Prezzavento.
Something. I'm so close. But you know what? I know you as Giuseppe and Grace. Congratulations on 15 years.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
You guys, 15 years in this little bitty town in the middle of nowhere. Whose idea was this?
It was his.
My idea. They thought I was crazy.
When you first started, though, I mean, mom and pop restaurants,
right.
2 to 5 years and you're done, 15 years has got to feel so good.
Nobody thought that we were going to last this long. I think they gave us what they
6 months.
At the most.
Oh, no.
3 to 6 months.
And here we are, 15 years later, going strong, going. It's more than I could have ever dreamed or imagined. But that being said, we couldn't have come this far without our family, who was there for us and still is, you know, from the get-go, they were there with us. And all the wonderful, fantastic customers.
The regulars.
Like you,
that
we have met and who are backing us still through all these years.
So you've done a Backstoppers fundraiser before, two times before. Mm-hmm. This one's going to be the biggest ever.
This is like the granddaddy of them.
So give an idea for those people that are thinking, you know what, I will go for a Sunday drive for great Italian food. What's going to be on the menu?
Well, naturally salad. We're going to do toasted raviolis, which is a similar thing. Going to have two different kind of pasta. We're going to do a pork loin. We're going to do a ham. And we're going to do meatballs.
Wow. And it's all you can eat, authentic Italian cuisine. What got you involved a couple of years ago?
Actually, Joe always said if we ever had our own business, he always wanted to do something where we could give back to the community. We wanted to do something for the first responders that come in to our restaurant. So that's how we really got involved with the Backstoppers. This is going to be the biggie.
For us, anyway, just to give it back to the community.
Yes, it's all about giving back.
Well, it's all about great food. This is why my wife and my friends come here to Trattoria Giuseppe, 5442 Old Highway 21 in Imperial. Technically, it's Otto, but you'll be able to find it if you go onto Facebook. But you also serve some of the finest Italian wine. So coming up next, let's find the distributor, Joe Crawford of Tavolo Vigneto. Tavolo Vigneto. And I'm half Italian. My grandmother would be so mad. Thank you, guys. Congratulations to both.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your time.
All right. So the crew that's operating this thing, you know, it wasn't that long ago that we were working together down in Festus at another Backstoppers event, which happened to be a record, if I'm not mistaken, of, I think, $43,000. Doug Ruther of the automobile conglomerate.
Glad to be here and helping Trattoria Giuseppe's get this done today.
Do you guys do things throughout the year, or is it just these two events are the big ones?
We have a lot of events that go on. We just got done with one at Girding Enterprises, a big barbecue, which is put on by Girding Enterprises. But there's a lot of stuff in Jefferson County that a lot of people don't know about, and that's why we get involved, because we are Backstoppers of Jefferson County. 100% of this funds goes directly to the Backstoppers organization.
Of course.
But we like to know what's going on in the community, and whatever we can help with them, we'll help them do, and you know, pitching wherever we can.
I'll tell you what, you've done a great job. You did a great job at that auction. We had a great time with that. And I'm sure Sunday's event is going to be great. Mike Sims, also with Jefferson County Backstoppers, or vice versa, Backstoppers of Jefferson County. Okay, now you look like one of the guys that's going to be at the Guns and Hoses fight in the ring. Is that true?
No, I'm not going to be in the ring.
That is going to happen this year, though, I hear.
That is going to happen, yes. I am part of the Guns and Hoses committee as well.
Oh, my gosh, you are all over the place. Now, what is your day job as well?
I'm in the car business as well. I'm Doug's competitor.
I'm Rita Automotive Group.
Steel sharpens steel is what I understand, right?
That is correct.
But a common respect for law enforcement. Thank you for your input as well. You want to describe anything that we've got going on Sunday?
Obviously, it's their 15th anniversary here for this restaurant, which everybody in this area knows that this is a go-to for good food. We're going to have a band out here that's going to play for us through the afternoon. We have a live auction. I know we're going to have a gun raffle. great food, and it's just going to be one of those times that you're going to come out and support the best organization in this city, and obviously with the best families.
Absolutely, Mike. Well said. Thank you, both of you gentlemen. So we want to see everybody that loves good Italian food, and I've always said, if you like your Italian food on the hill, well, the elevation at Trattoria Giuseppe's is like 815 feet, way higher than the hill. Hey, it's something to do with the pasta and al dente, and it's got to be good. Anyway, at noon to 6 on Sunday, go to Facebook. You can look up Trattoria Giuseppe. All you can eat authentic Italian cuisine. It's a Backstopper's benefit, but it's also to celebrate 15 years of this wonderful restaurant. And if you've never discovered Trattoria Giuseppe, come on out here Sunday or any other time. All proceeds benefiting Backstopper's. And thank you all. We'll see you on Sunday.
Thanks, Bo, and thanks to those folks for their great support of Backstoppers. I think that's fantastic. Hey, listen, by the way, it's fall and people want to get outside. Have you been to a farm lately? We got a great story coming up. If you want to get outdoors, it is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. We'll be right back.
It is Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. Mark Cox, Bo Matthews, and Carl Middleman is here. And this segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. I talked to Jesse and Brad a couple of weeks ago, and I need to get in there. They're getting shipments of ammo all the time, and I need to get in there and stock up on 380. Do you have a 380?
380, yeah. 380 is one of the ones that's been a challenge to get.
It is, and they got it, so I'm headed there, and you should too if you've never been. RazorbackArmory.com. Check out their website. Go see them in DePere. Tell them Bo sent you to Razorback Armory.
Yeah, before that horrible boating accident, I mean, my goal was to have a firearm in every caliber.
Yeah.
Then the boat turns over. Most of them sank to the bottom of the lake, unfortunately. But, you know, it's goals are good, though, right?
Diving equipment for your birthday.
Yeah.
I will tell you, this old hillbilly down in Kentucky, before he died, he buried 5 barrels of moonshine on his property. And I've had it. I've tasted it.
So they found them? Is that what you're saying?
Well, the family knew where they were.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. All right.
But how forward thinking is that? But this guy, he could be standing anywhere in his cabin. Should I have not said that out loud?
No, sure.
Okay,
no.
Good.
You haven't said where. It's a big state.
Yeah, yeah. You got to get them fish eyes in there, boy. That's what he used to say. He's shaking up. But this man, I mean, literally anywhere he's standing in his house, he could reach a firearm. Just anywhere. He's just an amazing guy. So I feel bad about your ammo dump.
Yeah, well, it was firearms, all of it, just gone. So it's just a shame that, you know, it really is heartbreaking. But, you know, just to be on the safe side. I'm just kidding. So my wife finally went there. I'll just have to tell you, Bo, Carl. Mm-hmm. I opened up the refrigerator yesterday. She had gone to the store. And I go to pull out my favorite morning coffee creamer, except it was pumpkin spice.
TSL.
Oh, boy.
I'm like, oh, I was not ready for that yet. I'm not.
It's October now, though.
I'm not a huge opponent of fall, although it reminds me of winter, so it's not always my favorite season. But I try to avoid pumpkin spice as long as possible, and it's now in my refrigerator.
It's impossible.
Just give me the pumpkin pie, and I'll be good.
What you want to do is go to a farm.
Yeah, well, you do, and that's a nice segue, because it is fall, and it is time to get the kids out and the family out, and a place my wife goes to all the time, usually with friends, is Stuckmeyer's Farms. Their family farms are at 141 and 21. They do a great job, and they've expanded over the years. Even during COVID, they've done a great job. So we welcome Phil LaCrone from Stuckmeyer's Farms on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Welcome to the show, sir.
How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are things going at Stuckmeyer's? Are you all ready for the kids and for pumpkins and everything?
We are. We are getting, we have everything set up. The weather's been warm, and we had a little rain last weekend, but we have all the activities going. It's been good so far. We got a good pumpkin crop this year, so ready for everything.
Yeah, sorry for making fun of pumpkin spice.
He doesn't make pumpkin spice, I don't think.
No, we haven't gotten into that yet.
Phil, if you would, tell the folks, because people are willing to drive a distance to go bring their family to an outdoor event like yours, like you guys put on. Tell us about the farm. How big is it? How long you been there? All that good stuff.
Well, we have been out here in Jefferson County since 1953.
Wow.
We're just over the St. Louis County line. We farm about 180 acres out here. Where the activities are going on is a 60-acre area. We have the U-Pick patch out there. We do hay rides. It's probably one of the best hay rides in the St. Louis area. It's a 20-minute ride around the farm. You'll be able to see the crops because we actually are vegetable growers during the summer, and actually we do it during the fall. So you get to see the different crops that we're growing. Then we have displays set up for the kids. It's all fun family activities that we do. We have barrel rides for the kids. There's no admission fee to get in. We have a large, what we call Fort Spooky, which has slides and tunnels and a small corn maze. We also do have a corn maze for everyone to trek through. It's about a 3-acre corn maze this Whoa. Year. So we have lots of activities going on. And then we have also have our kettle corn. So we do kettle corn, and that's one of our good specialties. People come, and we have quite a line for that.
Yeah, I'll bet you do. Nothing like that on a nice fall day. That's good stuff. Do you have one of those pumpkin launchers? I've always enjoyed going out and shooting those pumpkin launchers.
No, we haven't gotten into that yet.
You know, it's funny because to me, Stuck Myers, I've been around Jeff County since about 97. It seemed like you were a farm. I mean, you did the farm thing. At what point did somebody in your organization go, you know, we need to do stuff for the kids? And then you started with what?
Well, we used to be completely wholesale. We would take produce down to Produce Row. And then in the late 80s, we got into having our own market, and then we got into raising a few pumpkins, and we had a little play area with straw bales and so forth, and we just kept expanding and expanding. And each year, we try to add a new activity. We got into a few of the inflatables with the things for the kids to slide and so forth. And our goal has always been everything for the family. We like to... we don't charge to get in. You pay as if you want to do some of the extra activities, but we have fields of sunflowers that people like to take pictures
yes.
and do all that.
You know, we hear a lot about you know, how the weather affects farming every year. What was this year's crop like? I mean, for you guys, just in general.
In general, the pumpkins has been a challenge for almost everyone in the area. To get pumpkins ready by October, you have to have them planted in June. July 4th is about the last date that you can maybe get one that's going to ripen up for October, but we had a lot of rains at that time. So we had a couple of fields where we planted, and then we got that hard rain, and we did not get a set on as good. But luckily, we got some good fields that produced very well. So I don't think we're going to have any trouble with pumpkins this year. The quality we have are pretty nice. But then you get into a lot of different things. Insects are a bad one this mm-hmm. year, with everything. So, they can scar your pumpkins up and so forth. But what we have, picked so far, and then we have the U-Pick, it's all looking very good this year for us. Luckily, it's always a challenge with the weather, when you farm.
I think a farm tour is a good idea. You know, you can go to Eckert, you can go to all, you know, one up in Wentzville, there's one. You can go all around and put Stuck Myers on your list. Have you been by this area?
I have not been. I know I've driven by it before. I just
it's
haven't
by the pink
specifically
elephant.
Been to Stuck Myers. Well, yeah, I've seen the pink elephant.
The reason I point it out is because, like I said, my wife goes there and, you know, gets plants in the spring, that kind of thing.
Their mums are great.
But if you can find the pink elephant, which is at 141 and 21, right there, there's a pick a bone barbecue. It's right out in the parking lot. It's a tent.
And
Phil, have you eaten at Pick a Bone Barbecue?
Oh yes.
Miriam is the guy that runs that, but it's a great stop. But do you guys offer food there? Maybe I shouldn't promote the barbecue guy in the parking lot before I ask. Do you guys serve food out at Stuck Myers?
We do. We do have a concession where we do have hot dogs. Popcorn, all your drinks, nachos, And then we do caramel apples, which is a fresh apple. We slice, put caramel and nuts on top of it.
By the way, I only buy my lottery tickets. Like, I bought the $670 million Powerball tickets at the Pink Elephant. Because if I won, I want to be on every news network with my Who Farted hat on in front of the Pink Elephant and say, this is where I bought them. I'm serious. For 20 years, I bought my lottery tickets there. Oh, my goodness. Well, you guys do a great job throughout the year. Do you guys do your own honey? I know my wife, I think, has bought honey from you guys.
We don't do the honey, but we do have actual local guys from right in the area. We have two different ones. One's from Imperial, and I believe the other one's from Arnold. But they have their own hives, and you're getting honey exactly from where they say it comes from.
And is that a myth? Do you know getting honey where you live is important for the nutrients? Is that correct?
That's what they say. A lot of people like to use the honey if they have allergies and so forth.
Yeah.
So they're getting that. But we try to strive for the people that, you know, raise their own honey and all that.
Well, that's great. And you have Clydesdales out there at some point. When is that a specific day?
Well, with the COVID and so forth, they've had to cancel this year.
I'm sorry. We
were trying to do it. Yep, it was supposed to have been, I believe, this weekend. And we just could not. They're just not going out to the smaller events like this.
Well, it's affecting everything.
We'd always done that, and it worked out real well. We had pictures out in the pumpkin patch with the kids and all that. I took pictures, and they got their pictures with the Clydesdale. So hopefully next year things will be straight, and we can go with that. But we've moved everything outside. We have registers outside, so for all that, we've tried to expand things out so everything's not all inside.
Well, there may be time for some people listening to this show, but you also do a fundraiser for Backstoppers, and I want to thank you in advance for doing that, because we do on my show on 97.1, we do everything we can for our first responders, and love people who raise money for Backstoppers.
Well, thank you. Yes, the Saline Valley Fire Protection District works with us very well on that, so we sponsor that with them and go with there.
Well, yeah. Phil, great talking to you, and keep up the good work. I do have a personal question. My wife is all about, she wants to have a greenhouse. And as you are, your family is an experienced group that have been doing this a long time. Can you really grow anything through the winter months in a greenhouse?
Definitely you can.
Oh.
You can.
You got to know what you're doing.
Depending on how cold it is and keeping it heated and so forth, it can get very expensive. But yes, we do start our greenhouses. We start ours about February now. You get into January when it's very, very cold. Like if you want to raise pansies or an earlier one, trying to keep it heated and it can be very expensive. So you can watch your furnace just run all day long.
Right. But, now you're talking flowers. She wants to, like, you know, she wants to grow vegetables. Fruits and vegetables. Yeah. Is that possible?
Oh, yes. Yes. We grow some tomatoes in some of our greenhouses. Now a lot of places are going with high tunnel houses where they can start things earlier and they can be covered if it gets to be cool. But yes, if you want to grow stuff, it can be done. We don't grow that much. We do more our plants or our flowers and start all our vegetables early on, but to have fruits ready and stuff, it's always a challenge. And part of gardening is you never know how things are. It's always a trial and error and a little bit of how people have always done it.
Yeah. Well, you just ruined it for Mrs. Matthews by mentioning the cost. So yeah, he can forget about that now. All right. Hey, Phil, we appreciate you coming on today. Good luck this year with Stuckmeyer's Family Farms and the fall activities. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Yep. We'll talk to you again soon. Hey, coming up on Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, we talk about fishing here, right? The fishing season, there's still plenty of fishing time left, but what are the best and worst states to go fishing? I've wondered myself. I've been to Montana. I've been all over the country fishing. I didn't know there was a definitive list, but we found it, and we'll have that when we come back. Maggie's farm no more.
Baby, let's go to Vegas. Kiss the same old life, couldn't buy high.
It's Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, brought to you by, this segment brought to you by Chuck's Boots, where I just got word from Sean, the owner of Chuck's Boots, that both locations, Fenton and St. Peter's, are loaded down with great Carhartt gear and with a great selection of hunting boots and even youth style or youth size boots for your hunting season. So check them out online at chucksboots.com where you can shop, but I like the stores better, Fenton and St. Peter's. Tell them Bo sent you to Chuck's Boots. Okay.
So I play country songs because Bo had a long career in country.
I've influenced you that way.
Yes, so I appreciate it. And Nevada is in Vegas. And Nevada is, of course, there are 50 states. And we're going to talk about the best and worst states to fish. Nevada is dead last.
That's a stretch, buddy. That's a stretch. Yeah, it's dead last because there's no water in Hoover Dam.
Right.
Or at Hoover Dam.
That's why. There's got to be a reason. Maybe there's something more to it. Let's get to our guest, please. Sharon Sullivan is with us, the managing editor of LawnLove.com, right? And they're the ones that have done this ranking. I have to ask, Sharon, first of all, welcome to Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors.
Thank you for having me.
What does fishing have to do with lawn care?
Well, it is outdoors. we do a lot of things that relate to outdoors. We do our normal lawn care articles, but we really like to do some kind of talker pieces that people like to do and have fun and stuff on the weekends.
That's
and
great.
We're all about giving people freedom to do that. They don't have to take care of the lawn, so they can go fishing.
Perfect.
I've said for years, I don't know, you don't know me that well, Mark. I've said for years, cut your grass during the week, then you can enjoy your weekend.
Nice.
How many people spend their entire Saturday or Sunday? No, mm-hmm. Don't do that. Go fishing instead.
That's a great idea. It really is. It is. So, you know, I was just telling the guys here going into the last break, I have fished in a lot of states all over the country, not all of them by any stretch of the imagination, but I didn't know anybody had put together a list. So how? First, before we get to who's best and who's worst, how did you arrive at the conclusions in this study?
Well, we looked at different metrics related to fishing. So we kind of broke it down into four main categories and looked at things that related to those. So we looked at community, like the number of people who get fishing licenses and the number of fishing competitions and charter boats. We did access, that was, number of lakes, also marinas, state covered by water and shoreline mileage and things like that. The cost of licenses and tags and permits and stuff for boats, and also supplies. So the number of fishing gear stores and bait and tackle shops and everything in each state. And so we kind of broke it down and weighted those to see how the states ranked.
Well, Missouri is not the worst or the best, but it's good. And I grew up in Minnesota, where they say there's 10,000 lakes, right? It's actually over 14,000.
Wow.
And fishing was part of my growing up. I mean, every time we got a chance to go to the little creek or going to a lake, we did it over the summer. But I'm surprised they're not on the top five, Sharon.
Yeah, I know. It kind of got ruled out a lot by the states that were closest to, like, the Atlantic, a lot of the states that had more access to water, and that kind of, ruled out a little bit as far as those top numbers.
Yeah.
A lot of them had to do with the number of charter boats, bait and tackle shops, and, licenses and shoreline mileage.
Yeah, I'll tell you why I would have ruled them out. But I went fishing there once, Bo.
Hey.
And we had to carry our boat into the lake where we were going to fish. And it was a canoe. And as we approached the woods, we'd already put on our deep woods off or whatever we were using at the time. You could hear the hum of the mosquitoes as you approached the tree line. And I swear they could have picked us up and carried us to the next lake.
See, that's where you missed out. You should have had them carry the canoe for you because they can do that. They're trained.
Yeah. 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 There were lots of mosquitoes up there.
Oh, it's disgusting. They smash like grapes.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just so big.
So you know, there were a couple surprises on here for me as I looked at your rankings. Since Carl led in with a story about Las Vegas, let's talk about why Nevada ended up last. Is it a lack of water, or what played that a role in that?
Well, on the metrics, I would say they ranked pretty low in the last 10 states for most of the metrics.
Okay.
So they rated number 49 for the number of bait and tackle shops.
Okay.
They rated 48 for marinas. They were number 47 for fishing licenses. Not many people, I guess, are into fishing in Nevada at all. And so that, you know, they kind of ranked, they did not rank well in any of the metrics. I mean, they were 30th or above in all the different rankings for the metrics for Nevada. So that's why I don't think there's much of an interest in fishing for the lakes and stuff that they do have.
Well, you should have had a metric for slot machines.
Yeah, right.
That, you know, I mean,
that's what they're doing out
that's
there.
That's everybody's inside in the air conditioning playing jackpots.
I hear cuddling is popular out there, too. Cuddling? A lot of cuddling going on out there.
That's funny.
Have you been to Hoover Dam?
I've not. I've been to Vegas a couple times.
It is
I've never
amazing.
Gotten in a car and driven over.
It is amazing how...
But you can't fish there.
I'm sure you can.
You probably could fish in the river if you wanted to.
Maybe, but the salt deposits on the side where the water's down so far right now, I mean, it's scary. Mm-hmm. Very little water out there.
Wow.
Frightening. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, and you know, Kansas came in 47th. Now, that's interesting because we over here in Missouri have a love-hate relationship with Kansas to begin with. I'll just have to admit.
The bottom five are Nevada, Arizona, New Mexico, Kansas, and Nebraska.
Yeah. So
plain states.
Right. Nebraska was fifth from the bottom, Kansas fourth. And, yeah, those are, you know, not places I would have thought about going fishing in.
Yeah, because there's a lot of farmland and...
Mountains.
Where?
Oh no, it's flat.
It's flat.
Flat
in the
mountains
in Nebraska. Have you ever driven across Kansas?
No, but New Mexico, I would think.
Sharon, now that you have this data, if you're into fishing, do you then go to the top five and only the top five for your fishing excursions?
Well, I have only actually in the top five. I've only fished in one of the five states because that's where I live, but. I don't know. Number one is Alaska, and I don't know if I would be going to Alaska for fishing, but a lot of people go there on trips fish. It's a very popular destination for fishing.
Well,
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, when you can catch a halibut the size of a Volkswagen, that's why people like to go there and fish, right? Or
yes,
I've got a good friend who goes salmon fishing there, and I was supposed to go this past year, but... COVID.
Oh.
I had a trip last May, was planned, all planned out, all paid for, and I had to cancel it because of COVID. So, you know, what do you do?
Salmon in a can, that's what you get.
that's what I go to my buddy's house who brought back about 60 pounds of salmon.
Wow.
And I eat some over there.
And some of these make sense.
Sharon, what state are you in?
I live in Florida.
Ah.
Number
smart
five.
Woman.
And Florida ranked number five. But, you know, I did have some people who were wondering why they ranked number five and not number one. So, because we do have a lot of, you know, charter guides and fishing. And, of course, we have a lot of the shoreline mileage.
Absolutely.
But, honestly, this one metric actually surprised me about Florida was that the number of fishing licenses that are issued, we actually ranked 36 out of 50 states. So that kind of surprised me a little bit.
That means people aren't getting their license.
They're fishing anyway.
Yeah, I'm thinking the bridge system that gets you to Key West from Miami.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a lot of fishing licenses sold in that area.
No.
Although there's a lot of fishing going on.
So the top five: Florida, Rhode Island at number four, Maine, Michigan, and as we said, Alaska
was number one. Yeah, that's interesting. So like the ACT, you don't have to get the top score in every category to be rated number one, right? Like to get the very best score. So some of them might have fallen off in the number of licenses, but obviously when it comes to shoreline and marinas and charters and all that, Florida's clearly in the top five.
Yeah, definitely. Florida has the number one in fishing charter and guides, and they rank number seven in the percentage of state that was covered by water. The number of marinas and fishing trails. So they ranked high in those categories, but surprisingly, you know, the number of fishing licenses and the number of fishing gear stores actually were ranked pretty low in those areas, but they made it up in other areas.
So in this survey, if you don't mind me asking, are you considering offshore fishing and lake fishing, or is it one or the other or both?
Yeah, we do consider both. That's why we talked a little bit too about, you know, with our experts about the differences and pros and cons of freshwater fishing versus wonderful. Saltwater fishing. So,
wonderful.
Yeah,
wonderful.
We looked at both.
Where can people go to find out more about the study? You have a blog up on your website?
Yes, we do. On lawnlove.com, you can check out our blog. We have all of our study stories on there, and we also have a lot of information about anything lawn care.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm sorry, Carl, what's your question?
Hey, baby, let's go to Vegas. Kiss the same old life and buy high. Hey, baby, let's go to Vegas. Bet on love and let it ride.
It is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, brought to you by, this segment brought to you by Chuck's Boots, where I just got word from Sean, the owner of Chuck's Boots, at both locations, Fenton and St. Peter's, are loaded down with great Carhartt gear and with a great selection of hunting boots and even youth style or youth size boots for your hunting season. So check them out online at chucksboots.com where you can shop, but I like the stores better, Fenton and St. Peter's. Tell them Bo sent you to Chuck's Boots. Okay.
So I play country songs because Bo had a long career in country.
I've influenced you that way.
Yes, so I appreciate it. And Nevada is in Vegas. And Nevada is, of course, there are 50 states. And we're going to talk about the best and worst states to fish. Nevada is dead last.
That's a stretch, buddy. That's a stretch. Yeah, it's dead last because there's no water in Hoover Dam.
Right.
Or at Hoover Dam.
That's why. There's got to be a reason. Maybe there's something more to it. Let's get to our guest, please. Sharon Sullivan is with us, the managing editor of lawnlove.com, right? And they're the ones that have done this ranking. I have to ask, Sharon, first of all, welcome to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Thank you for having me.
What does fishing have to do with lawn care?
Well, it is outdoors. we do a lot of things that relate to outdoors. We do our normal lawn care articles, but we really like to do some kind of talker pieces that people like to do and have fun and stuff on the weekends.
That's
and
cool.
We're all about giving people freedom to do that. They don't have to take care of the lawn, so they can go fishing.
Perfect.
I've said for years, I don't know, you don't know me that well, Mark. I've said for years, cut your grass during the week, then you can enjoy your weekends.
Nice.
How many people spend their entire Saturday or Sunday? No, mm-hmm. Oh, don't do that. Go fishing instead.
That's a great idea. It really is. It is. So, you know, I was just telling the guys here going into the last break, I have fished in a lot of states all over the country, not all of them by any stretch of the imagination, but I didn't know anybody had put together a list. So how, first, before we get to who's best and who's worst, how did you arrive at the conclusions in this study?
Well, we looked at different metrics related to fishing. So we kind of broke it down into four main categories and looked at things that related to those. So we looked at community, like the number of people who get fishing licenses and the number of fishing competitions and charter boats. We did access, that was, number of lakes, also marinas, state covered by water and shoreline mileage and things like that. The cost of licenses and tags and permits and stuff for boats, and also supplies. So the number of fishing gear stores and bait and tackle shops and everything in each state. And so we kind of broke it down and weighted those to see how the states ranked.
Well, Missouri is not the worst or the best, but it's good. And I grew up in Minnesota, where they say there's 10,000 lakes, right? It's actually over 14,000.
Wow.
And fishing was part of my growing up. I mean, every time we got a chance to go to the little creek or going to a lake, we did it over the summer. But I'm surprised they're not on the top five, Sharon.
Yeah, I know. it kind of got ruled out a lot by the states that were closest to, like, the Atlantic, a lot of the states that had more access to water, and that kind of, ruled out a little bit as far as those top numbers. A lot of them had to do with the number of charter boats, bait and tackle shops, and, licenses and shoreline mileage.
Yeah, I'll tell you why I would have ruled them out. But I went fishing there once, Bo.
Hey.
And we had to carry our boat into the lake where we were going to fish. And it was a canoe. And as we approached the woods, we'd already put on our deep woods off or whatever we were using at the time. You could hear the hum of the mosquitoes as you approached the tree line. And I swear they could have picked us up and carried us to the next lake.
See, that's where you missed out. You should have had them carry the canoe for you because they can do that. They're trained.
Yeah. 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 There were lots of mosquitoes up there.
Oh, it's disgusting. Oh, they smash like grapes. Yeah. I mean, they're just so big.
So you know, there were a couple surprises on here for me as I looked at your rankings. Since Carl led in with a story about Las Vegas, let's talk about why Nevada ended up last. Is it a lack of water or what played that a role in that?
Well, on the metrics, I would say they ranked pretty low in the last 10 states. For most of the metrics.
Okay.
So they rated number 49 for the number of bait and tackle shops.
Okay.
They rated 48 for marinas. They were number 47 for fishing licenses. Not many people, I guess, are into fishing in Nevada at all. And so that, you know, they kind of ranked, they did not rank well in any of the metrics. I mean, they were 30th or above in all the different rankings for the metrics for Nevada. So that's why I don't think there's much of an interest in fishing for the lakes and stuff that they do have.
Well, you should have had a metric for slot machines.
Yeah, right.
That, you know, I mean,
that's what they're doing out
that's
there.
That's everybody's inside in the air conditioning playing jackpots.
I hear cuddling is popular out there, too. Cuddling? A lot of cuddling going on out there.
That's funny.
Have you been to Hoover Dam?
I've not. I've been to Vegas a couple times.
It is
I've never
amazing.
Gotten in a car and driven over.
It is amazing how.
But you can't fish there.
I'm sure you can.
You probably could fish in the river if you wanted to.
Maybe, but the salt deposits on the side where the water's down so mm-hmm. far right now, I mean, it's scary. Mm-hmm. Very little water out there.
Wow.
Frightening. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, and you know, Kansas came in 47th. Now, that's interesting because we over here in Missouri have a love-hate relationship with Kansas to begin with. I'll just have to admit.
The bottom five are Nevada, Arizona, New Mexico, Kansas, and Nebraska.
Yeah. So
plain states.
Right. Nebraska was fifth from the bottom, Kansas fourth. And, yeah, those are, you know, not places I would have thought about going fishing in.
Yeah, because there's a lot of farmland and
mountains.
Where?
No, it's flat.
It's flat.
Flat
in
mountains
in Nebraska. Have you ever driven across Kansas?
No,
but New Mexico, I would think.
Sharon, now that you have this data, if you're into fishing, do you then go to the top five and only the top five for your fishing excursions?
Well, I have only actually in the top five. I've only fished in one of the five states because that's where I live, but. I don't know. Number one is Alaska, and I don't know if I would be going to Alaska for fishing, but a lot of people go there on trips and fish. It's a very popular destination for fishing.
Well,
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, when you can catch a halibut the size of a Volkswagen, that's why people like to go there and fish, right? Or
yes,
I've got a good friend
salmon.
Who goes salmon fishing there, and I was supposed to go this past year, but COVID.
Oh.
I had a trip last May, was planned, all planned out, all paid for, and I had to cancel it because of COVID. So, you know, what do you do?
Salmon in a can, that's what you get.
that's what I go to my buddy's house who brought back about 60 pounds of salmon.
Wow.
And I eat some over there.
And some of these make sense.
Sharon, what state are you in?
I live in Florida.
Ah.
Number
smart
five.
Woman.
And Florida ranked number five. But you know, I did have some people who were wondering why they ranked number five and not number one. So, because we do have a lot of you know, charter guides and fishing, and of course we have a lot of the shoreline mileage.
Absolutely.
But honestly, this one metric actually surprised me about Florida was that the number of fishing licenses that are issued, we actually ranked 36 out of 50 states. So that kind of surprised me a little bit.
That means people aren't getting their licenses.
They're fishing anyway.
Yeah, I'm thinking the bridge system that gets you to Key West from Miami.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a lot of fishing licenses sold in that area.
No.
Although, there's a lot of fishing going on.
So the top five: Florida, Rhode Island at number four, Maine, Michigan, and as we said, Alaska
was number one. Yeah, that's interesting. So like the ACT, you don't have to get the top score in every category to be rated number one, right? Like to get the very best score. So some of them might have fallen off in the number of licenses, but obviously when it comes to shoreline and marinas and charters and all that, Florida's clearly in the top five.
Yeah, definitely. Florida has the number one in fishing charter and guides, and they rank number seven in the percentage of state that was covered by water, the number of marinas and fishing trails. So they ranked high in those categories, but surprisingly, you know, the number of fishing licenses and the number of fishing gear stores actually were ranked. They were ranked pretty low in those areas, but they made it up in other areas.
So in this survey, if you don't mind me asking, are you considering offshore fishing and lake fishing, or is it one or the other or both?
Yeah, we do consider both. That's why we talked a little bit too about, you know, with our experts about the different differences and pros and cons of freshwater fishing versus saltwater fishing. So,
wonderful.
We looked at both.
Where can people go to find out more about the study? You have a blog up on your website?
Yes, we do. On lawnlove.com, you can check out our blog. We have all of our study stories on there, and we also have a lot of information about anything lawn care.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm sorry, Carl, what's your question?
We need to ask her where Missouri and Illinois fell out on this list.
Oh, well, they weren't the top five or the bottom five.
Yeah, so we don't care.
Sure.
No, they're just
not. Just kidding. Where were they, by the way, Sharon?
They were both in the middle of the road, so that's good. But Illinois was number 23 out of 50, and Missouri ranked at number 31. but I can
Illinois.
Say that Missouri ranked really high in the number of fishing licenses, so there's and the cost of the licenses. So there is a lot of interest in fishing in Missouri.
Law-abiding citizens.
No, that could be.
That's what they are.
Not tax cheats.
Yeah, right? Well, good stuff. Well, hey, Sharon, really nice having you on our program, Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. And just real quick, what other topics do you address on your blog, on your website?
We have different stories. We have we just had a story about the best cities for beer lovers, and we do a lot of like cool talker type stories that people want to read about. But we talk about also everything from, you know, grass types and how to take care of your lawn to how to trim your shrubs and take care of pests in your yard.
Yeah, there you go.
We have a little bit of everything.
Because if the lawn is done, you need to know which beer to drink.
Exactly.
Or you can drink while you're mowing the lawn. That's all.
St. Louis better be.
Or where you should be going to fish.
St. Louis better be top five on that list of best beer cities. That's all I'm saying.
Sharon Sullivan, thank you so much for your time today.
All right, thank you.
Yep, I appreciate that. So this wouldn't be on this list because it's out of the country, but here's my fish tale. I went to Mexico, to Cancun, for my 40th birthday.
Yeah.
And my son was little, and we decided one day the girls are going to go somewhere. It's going to take my son deep sea fishing.
Sweet.
Take my son deep sea fishing. Catch a sailfish.
Mm.
And it was, I don't know, 84 inches long, but they're skinny. They don't weigh a whole lot. It's not a swordfish. It's a sailfish. Beautiful.
Big dorsal.
Yeah. Big, long, spine on the front. And I've hooked it. I'm reeling it in. I let my kid take a couple of cranks on it because he thinks he caught it to this day, even though he was too young to remember. And as we're getting it in, the boat captain, who's Mexican, comes up to me and he goes, if that's not good eating. So unless you want to mount it, we're going to cut it loose when we get it up to the boat.
Oh, wow.
And my adrenaline's pumping. I'm like, okay, how much does that cost? And he tells me, well, they take care of all that back at the dock, but it may be $500, he tells me, right? I'm like, well, that's not bad at all.
Right.
When am I ever going to catch one of these again? So we get into the boat. They bring it up into the boat. They tie it off and put it in the the bottom of the boat so everybody else can fish, because it was like the first fish we caught that day or the second fish. And I get back, I had to pay $250 down there in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course they tell me they're going to send it to a company in Florida who will replicate the fish, mount it, and then crate it and send it to my house.
But the actual fish does not ever
only
get
the,
to your wall.
Only the nose
of
the face.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Only the nose, like the spine or whatever that comes off the top, whatever you call that thing. Looks like a, you know, a
sword.
And because it's not a swordfish, it was sailfish. So anyway, I'm great with that. I give them a credit card, got my receipt, all that stuff, name of the company that's going to be contacting me, and I wait, and I wait, and I wait, and I don't hear from them, right? Then I find out that it's going to be a whole lot more than $500. Oh, it was going to be like $1,100, right, by the time they got it to me. Well, then a hurricane hits Florida, and it delays, shuts down everything down there. So about 4 months later, I'm sitting in my living room, and this truck backs into the driveway, gets this big box out of the back. I'm like, what in the world is this? It was my fish, right?
Hmm.
Oh, no.
The crating fee alone was $250. I mean, the initial down deposit.
Yeah, but you're all in now.
Well, I know. This thing ended up costing me almost $1,500. By the time I got it mounted and on the wall.
Does it hang on your wall today?
It does today. My kid took it to college and used it all 4 years at Mizzou, hanging over his fireplace.
As a bottle opener.
Because my wife won't let me hang it over our fireplace.
Aww.
But it lives in the basement. It's still there today. And that's so if you ever go to Mexico and you hook a big fish, they're lying to you about what it's going to cost you to mount. Just know that up front. Maybe you don't care, but they will lie to you about how much it costs to mount.
Well, at least you still have it. It's not $7 in the garage sale.
No, not yet.
Definitely not. Yeah, right.
So the minute I kick the bucket, she's getting rid of that thing.
Oh, I'm
I can
sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I've got items like that that are on my wife's list.
Yeah,
so.
Good stuff.
What do you think?
Thanks for listening to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, Bo Matthews. I appreciate you, buddy.
Man, can I just say I love listening to you in the morning every week. You're my show prep for my show.
I appreciate
on
you.
On St. Louis
Thank
Talks.
You very much.
Yeah. Carl, great job.
Thank you.
All right.
Songs for
Enjoy
you.
Enjoy the rest of your weekend, everybody. See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.